Our reading this morning is from, it's a repeat of a reading we used earlier, we actually used in September. It's from the book, Big Questions, Worthy Dreams, and the subtitle is Mentoring Young Adults in Their Search for Meaning, Purpose, and Faith. But I will have to tell you that our young adult group that's called now, the official name is Soul Food. A couple of us got this. It's a little too much to read. As one of the people said, I won't name the person, they said, the print's too small. That wasn't me. It was just that there's too much to read here. But Sharon Delos Parks was Sharon Parks while I was in divinity school, and she was one of my professors, and then she got married at the end to Larry Delos, and Larry's specialty was mentoring those adult relationships with young adults, with older adults that are not parental. And his thesis was that we're losing that anyway. So now she's Sharon Delos Parks. Wherever belief has become mere intellectual assent to abstract propositions, and whenever specific religious propositions have become meaningless, impersonal, or at least dubious to a large number of Western postmodern people, then by synonymous usage, faith has come to be equally meaningless, particularly to the critically aware mind. Therefore, if we are to recover an adequate understanding of human faith, we must be clear that when we use the word faith, we are speaking of something quite other than belief, understood in these ways. Faith is not simply a set of beliefs that religious people have. Faith is not simply a set of beliefs that religious people have. It is something that all human beings do. The other piece is a piece about home. Her chapter title is Becoming at Home in the Universe. She says that reflecting on the political cynicism of American society and the ironic detachment that characterizes many in his generation, 24-year-old Jedediah Purdy writes, "We doubt the possibility of being at home in the world, yet we desire that home above all else." It has been said that home is the most powerful word in the English language. It is where we start from. It is what we aspire to. To be at home is to have a place in the scheme of life, a place where we are comfortable, know that we belong, can be who we are, and can honor, protect, and create what we truly love. To be at home within oneself, place, community, and the cosmos is to feel whole and centered in a way that yields a sense of power and participation. Parker Palmer has described his experience in midlife of contending with the ill-fitting dreams of his future and toxic expectations of self he had carried for many years. This journey took him through the slough of depression. When asked how it felt to emerge from depression with, as he put it, a firmer and fuller sense of self, he responded, "I felt at home in my own skin and at home on the face of the earth for the first time." Wilfred Cantwell Smith wrote, "Faith, then, is a quality of human living. At its best, it has taken the form of a quiet confidence and joy which enable one to feel at home in the universe." To be at home is to be able to make meaning of one's own life and of one's surroundings in a manner that holds, regardless of what may happen at the level of immediate events. To be deeply at home in this world is to dwell in a worthy faith. I love those words. They really speak to me. And yet I find that after I've used them and asked people to respond to them, they're not speaking to other people very well. And I don't get it. Part of what I'm going to do today is I'm going to sit on this stool because I'm talking about faith. And you think that when somebody talks about faith, it's in a church, it's behind a pulpit, and it's a priest or a preacher telling you what faith you should have, right? That's what you've mostly done. And you come sit and on a Sunday and you say, talk to me about faith. Well, we also talked about our mission and theme, and the last line there is engage. Engage in practice and service for love, justice, and peace. And I'll talk a little bit about that engagement. I've talked here about my sense of religion and why I came to being in this profession. It's having a sense of something more, just something beyond knowing, beyond the limits of certain kinds of knowing, and being open to that something more. It's even the something more of moving into moments of love, or the something more of experiencing grief. William Ellery Channing, who wrote the, well, it was an ordination sermon in 1819, which defined Unitarian Christianity, saying that Jesus was not God, there was only one God, that Jesus was human, so we could aspire to be like Jesus. And then they argued about Jesus being maybe a little bit God, or, you know, this, that, and the other, and whether he really did the miracles or not, and all of that. But Channing, in that, talked about using reason and critical thought as a part of engaging life. And he talked about it in relation to faith, not about that not being a piece of it. Actually, as Unitarians, he placed it right in the middle of it. I think of faith as a word for the big container within which I live, sort of that big picture, the biggest picture. And I have these notes. One of the things, the reason I have this notepad, is I drove to Florida on Tuesday, got there on Tuesday, to my best friend's wife has stage 4 cancer, and is in the hospital and was moving. And I drove down there and actually brought our Unitarian Universalist perspective into the community so that we could have a healing circle that reached across different beliefs and brought in the power of the universe and the power of prayer and the power of different people's faiths that sustain them separately into one common voice. And that was Friday night, so I drove back 12 and a half hours yesterday and got here. So these are actually notes written while I'm driving. That's what they look like when it happens like that. Well, one person called me and said, I don't want to talk to you while you're driving, you know. I didn't tell them I was taking notes. So I wrote down here faith as sort of that word for the big picture. And then inside that are all the particulars of our lives, the question, that are informed by whatever it is, this big picture that we hold. And everybody in this room has a big picture within which they live. Everybody. And so I thought about calling it a faith to live by. It's sort of how you live in the particulars, the inside. And so what I've tried to do over the last several years is make it real simple about Unitarian Universalism and explaining it as an orientation. What is that? It's a compass. It's a way of moving in the big picture. It's actually sort of, again, this big picture to live by. Don't call it a faith if you don't want to. We'll get to that later. And so I say it has these characteristics from universalism, from the tradition there. It's an inclusive understanding. It's a loving God. That's a big deal. Even if you don't believe in God, it's not that you have to. It's that if you do, it's loving. And the universe is sort of, benevolence, not quite the right word, but it's a positive place in some sense. And that makes a big difference where I am, I won't say about you, very different from those people who believe in hell and focus on evil. And anyway. And then we say that there are inspired religious teachings, and with Jesus as an exemplar and with many exemplars. So we have an exalted view of human possibility, of what we can do and how we can inspire to be when we ask the question of what it means to live well. And when you look at all those different exemplars and teachings, you realize that what do they have in common? They have in common two things. One is, and this is from Karen Armstrong, the historian of religion, it's not from me. So they have the expression of compassion and the task in our lives of expanding our circle of compassion. They say if you do that, you will come to know a good life. That simple. The other piece they have is the notion of practice. Is that you get this, you move into it by practicing compassionate behaviors over and over again. And then we say we are an engaged religious practice, an engaged way of being in the world, that we try to make the inclusive vision, the inspired teachings real through our actions, our lives. Psychology shows that ideas are very difficult to accept in the abstract, but they're made real in the living out and the seeing of them, and seeing others live them out. And that's important of a importance of a religious community, of a tradition. We see how these things are lived out in and with our lives. Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Hendersonville, a community of faith for all ages, gathers in covenant too, and then we say how we live out. But it's that notion of a community dealing with the big picture. And I thought we could take this thinking of faith as deep meaning and make it particular, make it specific to each of us. I talked about it in September. I wrote about it in our Beacon columns. I spoke to folks. I made offerings. I got almost no response. Almost no response. I'm not saying I should have gotten a response, but I got almost no response. So, and no suggestions. People say, they would say, faith as a word. I'd ask them about the response. The response would be this: faith as a word doesn't work for me. That was it. I mean, I could ask you to raise your hands. How many of you said that to me or thought that? Faith as a word doesn't work for me. And nobody moved beyond it. Nobody moved beyond it to say what does when I asked. I'm not saying you should have, but that's pretty telling. There was no suggestions of what would be an other word other than spiritual. That's what was said, spiritual. But spiritual is not about a big picture. Spiritual is about an experience or a connection to something more. It doesn't say how you frame that bigger picture or how it's speaking to you. It just says spiritual is a word. So I tried asking, what are your yearnings, you know? And my response was, that word doesn't work for me. You know? So I'm going, I'm serious. I'm not making that up. I'm not even paraphrasing. That word doesn't work for me. I'm sorry, you know, and sitting there. So yearnings is a word that refers to longings for something, all right, longings. And yearning is a word that really, if you look up the dictionary, it's a synonym for longing, but it speaks to longings that have a certain restlessness. All right, it's sort of, I want to have this answered or responded to or be a part of my life, and there's a certain restlessness. That word doesn't work for me. None of us in here have a certain restlessness or a longing. I'll come on Sunday mornings to a worship service in a congregation with this sort of random sense of, I'm hunting for something. I sure hope they provide it on this Sunday morning. Maybe they'll hit what I need on that Sunday morning. So anyway, that's what I'm working with. And I'm not like a minister who's trying to convert you, or I have no missionary zeal in this. I'm trying to figure out how to do this, how to actually respond. What are the odds that yesterday, while driving and looking for NPR on the radio, you know how you do that, searching for it, or I do, that I would hit a radio show that turns out to be a Christian radio show that sounded like NPR. Otherwise, I wouldn't have paused. You know, there's a certain tone to the voice, you know, but this wasn't. They were exploring a topic, so I paused. And it turns out it was the MoodyRadioFlorida.com show was called Up for Debate. And you're all going, oh, yeah. And even they had a little piece by James Dobson after I sat in there. But it was about apologetics. And apologetics, they were discussing whether Christian apologetics were actually beneficial, that you should do them or not. And there were two professors from Baptist seminaries talking about these things. And apologetics are it's a theological discipline of arguing to support the divinity and authority of Christian God and teachings. Is that right? Pretty much? Yeah. So, and they were talking about faith as if it were a fixed thing. What brings me to faith? But here's what they were saying. After that, it could have been us talking. They were saying that the questions that are important to people are changing. They're changing. They wanted an inclusive faith with science included and rational thinking too. They want people, not train people to defend, but rather to say, wow, what's going on in your life? They want to come from the place of hope in your life, of what is your story and the importance in your story. And then they said, like this word, what we say about faith, they said, misuse of the thing does not negate its proper use. Now, I'm not saying their sense of proper use is my sense of proper use, but they were saying things like people are looking for what is true. These are the professors talking back and forth and kind of arguing with each other about whether you should teach people to defend their faith or argue it or not. And they were saying, no, you shouldn't do that. That people are looking for what is true. They're looking for a world view. They want to thicken, challenge, deepen their understandings and their sense in life. And they say to listen. Don't be answering the questions the person isn't asking. So I figured, hey, I must be trying to answer the questions the person isn't asking. And I jotted down faith-informed life. They said, answer the questions they're asking, not the questions they're not asking. They may not know what they are, and the questions are changing. Questions like, why am I here? Why do I feel the way I feel? Why do I think about myself the way I think about myself? Why is this happening to me? How do I sort this out? These are what they were saying over the radio. So now there are people who are saying, you come to faith. They have one notion of faith. But there are also people who've explored what, or are exploring what it means, just like we are, to ask deep questions in your life and to find this bigger container of meaning. So what are the questions you are asking? What are the questions that are up for you? Are there any? Or are you just going to say, ah, that word questions doesn't work for me? You know, what are the particulars in how you live? Why do you get up on a Sunday morning, a perfectly beautiful day, and you may be asking yourself at this moment exactly this question, and come here? I think it's part of that abstract ideas don't work well in the abstract, but to be a part of a community, a tradition that says this is a way to look at the world, this is a way to construct a bigger picture, and it works. It works. It's an inclusive universe. It's a loving God if you're a theist. It's not something to be afraid of. They're inspired religious teachings that you can aspire to and you can make them a part of your life. It's not about sit and soak and look to the priest to tell you what to believe. It's to live it out in your own life. Each of you in this place is living a life of faith. Absolutely. A life of deep meaning. Everybody here. And my idea was, let's go back to you and see what are the particulars within that bigger picture that you want to work on, how you live. I actually offered to tailor this and to come to your living room, to your kitchen table, and sit there for 30 minutes. I got no takers. I got three people who came to my office. That either tells you that you aren't concerned about these things or you don't think I have anything to offer, so why invite me over to your kitchen table? I just thought it was a great idea. I thought it was a revolutionary idea. So obviously, it may be revolutionary in my head. So the big picture, your particulars, your story. I can tell you that you will respond if you don't get what you want, even if you haven't told somebody what it is you want. But if you don't get it, or they cross you in a way that doesn't work for you, you will let them know then. But this is that positive sense of what is it deep inside you that's creating questions. And I would say to you that if you don't do this work, if we sit here like this, this place will not be here in 20 years. That we'll find other ways to go on about our lives. The dispersive pressures of the modern world are too great. This kind of gathering is too subversive, and it will be dispersed from its subversive. But all you need do first is engage. Engage in your self-worth. Engage in giving voice, your voice, to your deep questions, your guiding questions, so you can bring your practice. That is what you do with your life. That's what practice is, the things you do over and over. So you can bring the practice of you into the service of your deep questions. Not in the service of my deep questions. Why would you do that? But in the service of your deep questions within this bigger picture. Bring it into the service, your practice, into the service of your life, into the service of this community, as we say, for love, justice, and peace. And it's not just that outside of you, it's inside you as well. So that's what I thought about. And then I wrote at the end of the description, I said, bring your questions. How many people brought questions? Wait, how many people are going to say, I have questions, that just doesn't work for me? I mean, you are. I said, bring your questions for this question box style reflection. Anybody have any questions that have meaning for them? Mickey, thanks for saving me, Mickey, by the way. Thanks. Mickey's asking, if you didn't hear, Mickey's saying that I've been raised Catholic. Prayer was an important part of that, being raised Catholic. And now when I talk about praying, I'm not sure what I'm praying to and how I can pray with integrity. But I feel like praying. Is that pretty much it? Well, again, that's back to the words of faith. That word just doesn't work for me. I mean, we've actually got a couple of people who've quit coming because I'm talking about faith. That came back to me secondhand, you know. It's like, he's talking about faith. I'm not going to do it. Prayer, same kind of thing. It's that word doesn't work for me. So it's engage that word as to what does. I don't believe in intercessory prayer. That means asking for particular things and getting them. And I'm going to stay seated on the stool so it stays informal. It's just talking about this. But I do have this sense of speaking our prayers, I mean our thoughts, into the universe. When I opened the healing circle for my friend Sandy on Friday night, we're out next to a lake in the sand hills of Central Florida, and people, I mean, there were devout Christians, progressive thinkers, friends who didn't have any religion all together. And I actually had friends call the Four Corners and do it. And where I'm going with this is, I said, you know, my friend Jimmy, he's here because he believes in miracles. And I said, no, it's not believes. He's seen miracles happen. And he wants to pray for us to pray for those miracles. I said, I haven't experienced miracles in that way, but I believe in healing and the power of sending our love. And then I said, I believe in the specifics and the power and the connection of friendship. You know, and I went on to list these things, and I think that prayer, however you understand it, it's not to get hung up in the rejection and the struggle that many of us have. It's to just own it and do it, you know. And I say spirit of life and love. You could say joy of life. You can actually sit and think to that, what you want to speak out to and put into. We drop pebbles into the bowl and send out ripples, and we do it symbolically. We don't go, what does that mean, you know? How is that working? And I think prayer is the same kind of thing. It's just let's own it. Let's don't get into this other stuff. Let's just own it for who we are and what we're doing. Mary. Is that answer a little bit there, Mickey? Yeah. Yearnings. So worldview would be a better word for Mary. And I think that's what I'm trying to get, is this feel. Because I think we're doing similar things, but it's how do you speak to it. I only can use faith because I worked with Sharon Parks for 2 years and struggled with it, you know. And that faith as deep meaning making, or worldview as your bigger picture. Jane. Well, I think it's I don't think it's too large to answer. I think it may be presented in the sense that we want a faith. But it's the notion of, like Mary says, what is our worldview that informs these questions? The phrase to be at home in the universe, we know how to build a home. What if we think about what is it that needs to be in our home for us to feel at home? Belonging is a key word for me. And then once you move into home, it's that sense. And when I use yearning, when I'm at home, I wouldn't use the word yearnings. I'm at home. I'm settled. I'm comfortable. Things are right. It's that space where I belong. I'm good, and I'm good to go. So, you know, that's sort of how I work with it. And I think beginning to work with those feelings. And what I'd like to do is connect with you in a way that we can begin to work with it, because the key piece of this for me is for us to each notice and value what we've already done or how we've built that home, you know, and what it is for us, so that maybe we can reside in it. Ron. Oh, absolutely. Well, and we're going to in two weeks. I lose track. Two weeks. We're going to, right after the service, we're going to do This I Believe. And we won't call it a workshop. It's an opportunity, because people said workshop, that word doesn't work for me. I'm not kidding. So it's an opportunity. And what we're going to do is, it's not going to be a big deal. It's 300 to 500 words of what is this I believe? What are some of the organizing understandings? So let's use that of your life. Mine was, when I wrote mine and gave it, 2 years ago, that I asked the question, are my actions good for children? Anyway, see, I can write that 300 words, 500 words, and that organizes my life. What does it mean for children? So we'll just write them down. It won't be thinking we're just going to write it down and it's yours. So don't worry about it. Just come and do it and get it. Skip has his hand up in the back, and then I'll get to Ron. In case you didn't hear that, Skip said, I'm a pretty simple person in a complex way. Yeah, so there you go. There's an example of Skip framing his guiding understanding like that. Abraham Lincoln, if you had one sentence, he says, if I do good, I feel good. If I do bad, I feel bad. You know, there are things like that. Yeah, Ron. I'll give you a mic. Let me give you a mic here.
A speaker or two ago, I'm not sure who it was, rang a bell for me. I come here to hear you make me think about things, to provoke me to think about these things that I just either mush through or don't pay attention to as I live my life. And so part of my coming here to this congregation has to do with wanting to hear others, and this has been very helpful to me, express what they think. That's all I had to say.
And that brings it back to expressing it, but then also seeing, because you come to know the people around you, how it's lived out. We actually experience, without thinking about it, the example of the lives we see in the community around. Nancy, did you? Let me know. Yes, you do. And what I should have been using it. It's a question of accessibility.
Okay. I've just got to express my thanks for this. When I first came to UUFH, one of the reasons that I fell in love with this congregation and this place was talkback. You did it, or we did it, a lot then, and we haven't done it for a while. And I've got to tell you, I came here this morning kind of tired because of change in the clock, and I was starting to, unfortunately, doze a little bit. And I'm awake now. This is great. This is great. I don't understand faith. I really don't. Personally, I do not understand what... I was raised Roman Catholic as well, and for me, faith was a belief in something that you didn't know through any kind of tangible thing. So I don't really... What I believe in is this congregation and the people here that do good, and this is my faith right here. I like it a lot.
So there you go. Thanks. And one of the things we do call this, and if you'll notice on your program, and I'm very intentional about that, is calling this space creative interchange. Henry Nelson Wyman actually was a Unitarian theologian who said that it's in these moments where we are not talking back. In other words, we're not oppositional. We're exploring, and that we're creative. We're actually creating that which is new. And his understanding was that this is where God lives, is in these spaces. So thank you for bringing that up, Nancy. Give the example. All right. Okay, Liz.
When I first came to this congregation, I was so impressed because the minister didn't have all the answers.
I can live with that. That works for me. Yeah, that word works for me. Thank you.
I was thrilled because I didn't have them either. And I had been brought up as a Presbyterian, and that minister had all the answers and expected us to think and feel the way he did. And for me, the experience of this congregation is one of learning and experiencing and finding my way. I will never be finished finding my way. I don't expect to ever think I'm done. And with every person I meet here, and everyone I know better than I did the day before, I'm learning more about myself, and I'm learning more about all of you and how wonderful you all are. And I'm with Nancy. This is my home, and I love you all for it.
Well, I think one of the things we're hearing is that we may not articulate it, that is, put it into words, but we come here, this community, why we're attracted to it. Part of it is they are living out their lives, we are living out our lives in the way that we want to be living out our lives, we want to be connecting to. Well, why are we living out our lives in this way? Why do we believe in working for love, justice, and peace in the way we do? We have a larger worldview that informs us in that's the way to live well and to help bring a good world into being, and that we can do that. The other central piece to that is that piece I said about inspired teachings. It's that we do this with the work of our lives. Emerson said that revelation is ongoing. That means that which is new, creative, is ongoing. But what that means is we have to do the work. And that's a piece of What was the word you used, Ron, that I do? You said I provoke. Okay, yeah, some people don't like to be provoked. Well, thank you. I hope I provoked you. That's actually fun. I like that. I hope I provoked you. But it's to do this work. I think our culture is asking us to sit and soak and be in front of the flat screen and to take it in, just take it in. But what this worldview says is no. You're a part of life, engaged life with your being, with the opportunity that is you, with authority. Do it, because, and that doesn't mean argumentative, that means with the sense of your value, your place in the world. So I should stand down here, I should actually sit and just be talking among you. We should be in a circle. I mean, that's how it is. So that's what I'm trying to provoke, is engaging this, not just going. And we did that today a little bit. We engaged it. You've helped me. Faith, as you've used the words worldview, belonging. That's the word I used to use all the time, that sense of belonging. I called it belongingness because it, and when I say it, I feel it in my skin and I feel those moments. It's how I move in the world. So I encourage you to please respond to me with these ideas and with this thinking, because I think we can move forward in a way that can change our lives, change the world, and give us all that sense of belonging and that sense of being at home in the universe, a place where we are comfortable, know that we belong, can be who we are, and can honor, protect, and create what we truly are.